Moving and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 1025. The Game. Everybody has their own feelings about the media. I am not going to tell you how to feel about the media, though I will say this. As somebody who is somewhat in the media, I feel like a lot of the feelings towards the media in general are sometimes a little misguided. And I know some people are going to be like, the media is fake, the media is slanted, the media lies. And, I mean, the media, look, I think everybody is kind of allowed to feel however you want about anything. The problem that we have right now is everybody's telling everybody how to think, and I'm not going to do it. But I would say this. I am somewhere in between when it comes to sources and it comes to reports. I am somewhere in between Floyd Reese, who never believed anything, and Joe Rexrode, who believes everything. Ian, would you say that that's fair?
Yes.
Okay. So I need the fans' help on this, and I need your help, Ian, on this, to decide whether or not we believe in this article, or at least the information in the article. Ian, are you familiar with an NFL draft analyst by the name of Tony Pauline?
I have heard of him, yes.
So I have too, but only in that sense. Like, I can't tell you where he is. I can't tell you who he works for. I mean, I guess I can now because I know. But I cannot tell you anything about the guy other than every now and then, like especially in the time of years where there's not a ton going on and you're looking for a story, there's like a story that Tony Pauline is reporting on. So he works for a website called ProFootballNetwork.com. And he has 36.2 thousand followers, including followed by the NFL Draft's official Twitter, around the NFL's official Twitter. Adam Schefter follows him. TD follows him. Chris Mortensen follows him. But he doesn't have a blue check mark. So 36,000, his bio says NFL Draft Analyst at ProFootballNetwork.com. Should we believe his reporting?
Well, I think he's a pretty good draft analyst from what I understand.
Defined by pretty good. Like,
well, does his homework as far as knows some stuff on some prospects. I don't know what he knows about, like, rumor stuff.
So I'm going to say we believe him. And here's why I'm going to say we believe him. One, well, hold on. I don't know if I actually believe him. But the New York Giants, like, actually have him on their Giants shows. It's like Tony Pauline will join Jeff Fiegels. Didn't he used to be a punter? Yeah, I guess so.
I think so.
He'll join Jeff Fiegels. No, Tony Pauline does a show. Jeff Fiegels does a show. They had Tony Pauline go on to talk about the Giants draft. So, you know what? The New York Giants are using the guy.
Yeah, I think he's kind of a film guy.
Okay. So maybe we should believe it. I don't know. But remember when John Robinson, there's an article he wrote with Insight on Isaiah Wilson. Remember when John Robinson put Isaiah Wilson on notice a couple weeks ago and he said that the player they scouted in the spring was not the player they got in the fall?
Yeah, John, just wondering about the future of Isaiah Wilson. Anything you can share on conversations you've had with him, his status, what you want to hear and see from him to make you feel like he's committed and wants to do this?
Yeah, I think, we put him on the reserve non-football illness list there. I haven't spoken to him since that list got put out. You know, I think, we did a lot of work a year ago leading up to selecting him, you know, the evaluation process, talking to, you know, different sources, visiting with him countless numbers of times. And for whatever reason, you know, the player that this fall was here in Nashville wasn't the guy that was that we spent time with last year. So I think, you know, he's going to have to make a determination if he wants to do everything necessary to play pro football, and that's going to be, you know, on him. So I know what the expectation level is here. It's no different than any other player on the football team. You know, we have a certain standard that we want players to prepare and perform at professionally. And his people, and a lot of work to be done there.
Okay, so the big key to that was, as you remember, hey, the player we scouted in the spring, we did a lot of work on him. The player we scouted in the spring is not the player who showed up here in the fall. Ian, do you believe that?
For the most part, yes.
Okay. Because remember, I was like, hey, did they not do their homework on this guy? You know, I don't think anybody just wakes up and starts going off the reservation, but that's just me. And then I kind of had to give him a little bit of credit. I have to give Robinson and the Titans a little bit of credit because we had Hudson Mason on, who was a former Georgia quarterback. Now, he didn't play with Isaiah Wilson, but he's been around long enough, and he's still pretty connected in Athens. And Hudson Mason said he didn't hear about anything that was going on as far as Isaiah Wilson off-the-field issues at Georgia.
Surprisingly, we haven't heard anything bad. I mean, nothing that would make you go, okay, connect the dots. This is where this comes from. This behavior is tracked back and traced back to, you know, or there's a reoccurrence of this behavior from college. Now, you know, just because outsiders don't hear any of the noise or any of the behavior becomes public doesn't necessarily mean that it wasn't going on. And that's ultimately where John Robinson's job is, to talk to Kirby Smart and talk to coaches, talk to high school coaches, and kind of vet that process. And, you know, I heard you saying that on the way in. Obviously, the general manager and the scouts do, especially for a first-round draft pick. I mean, you cross your T's and dot your I's 10 times over again. But what makes this so surprising and kind of so hard to put your thumb on is, at least on the surface, it doesn't seem like this was a reoccurring thing, a reoccurring behavior for Isaiah Wilson. It seems like it's kind of an example of a guy getting a lot of money and getting away from college football, where you're babysat quite a bit and you're told where to be and how to be there all the time, and more freedom in the NFL. And maybe not, he's not quite ready for that moment yet.
Okay, so Hudson Mason says they didn't see anything either. So do we believe? So it's hard for me to believe that there were red flags with Wilson when a guy who played quarterback at Georgia says, "Oh, there was no red flags there." But Tony Pauline, and again, I don't know if I believe this. Tony Pauline said this, and it was written in his website, ProFootballNetwork.com. Was said, what I am hearing on Isaiah Wilson, as I could get out of it, he said that there were teams that took him off their draft board. Quote, "It's kind of prophetic, because if he's done with the Titans, I said last week, there are a lot of teams who took him off their draft boards. So I don't know that there is going to be a big market for Isaiah Wilson if they cut him." He said the Tennessee Titans, he said, again, this is the article, Pro Football Network, "While Pauline did not name the teams who took Wilson off of their board, he did shine some light on the Titans situation. Quote, the Tennessee Titans were not one of them. In fact, Tennessee saw no problems with Wilson. No red flags at all. What about the other teams? Pauline said, quote, I said multiple times in podcasts leading up to last year's draft, there are plenty of red flags, primarily personality issues that teams were concerned about. There were a number of teams across the league that had removed Isaiah Wilson from their draft board completely because of these personality red flags." So do I believe Tony Pauline, or do I believe John Robinson and, I guess, Hudson Mason? And I don't know what to believe, because if Tony Pauline, again, a guy I don't even know, like, I recognize the name and he's got Twitter followers, but he doesn't have a blue check mark. So that, and that, not having a blue check mark is a big deal when questioning validity of your reporting. And his website, profootballnetwork.com, is not a website I would ever go to unless there was something like this on it. Do we believe it? Because if Tony Pauline can get this figured out about Isaiah Wilson ahead of time and John Robinson can't, that is a big freaking problem. So, Ian, what do we believe here?
Well, I think both can be true to a degree. I think there are teams who can take him off the board for whatever their reason and it not be a main, you know, issue for another team.
Oh, I think that's such a cop-out. I don't know what to believe. I seriously don't. I mean, I'm not going back to listen to Tony Pauline's podcasts and see if last year he said there were red flags and teams taking Isaiah Wilson off their draft boards. Isaiah Wilson was never a big enough prospect that things like that were discussed anyways, like on national television. It wasn't like, you know, hey, we're going to do all these breakdowns on Tua and Justin Herbert, and we'll talk about whether or not CeeDee Lamb should go ahead of Jerry Jeudy. Oh, and by the way, we'll talk about Isaiah Wilson, who might get drafted in the second round. But this is concerning because Tony Pauline, who I don't know, Tony Pauline is, I mean, Adam Schefter and Chris Mortensen follow him, which means that he at least kind of matters. And a guy who kind, and again, this is where I'm at. Like, right? Like, Floyd would never have believed this. If I brought this to Floyd and I said, Tony Pauline reports, he would have laughed. He would have done that old cackle chuckle that we all loved so much and we all miss so dearly. But if Joe Rexrode, like, if Joe Rexrode read this, he would believe it 100%. Because it's like, journalists don't just put things out there. They have to vet their sources. They have to, and I fit somewhere in the middle. I think people make stuff up sometimes. I do. I don't make stuff up, but I think some people make stuff up. And so I don't know. And this is an investigation that I want an answer to. Like, I need to know on the Isaiah Wilson front, I need to know, did the Titans screw this up or did the kid just absolutely go off the rails by the time that he got here? Once he got the money, once he got the pressure, once he got in a pandemic, he's away from home, he's away from Georgia, they're not holding his hand, he's got Vrabel, who's kind of a, you know, pain in the butt sometimes, you would assume, as your coach. Like, I mean, everybody's telling me that that's true, that we shouldn't blame Robinson, we shouldn't blame Vrabel, because who could have foreseen this coming? And then you got the guy who I'm not going to say I've never heard of, because I've definitely heard of him, but that being the extent of my knowledge of this guy, saying that other teams across the league were taking him off the board for personality issues. And then that would be that they didn't do their homework. It's easy to say you did your homework. When I was in school, you know what I always learned about teachers when I was in school, when it would come to homework? Because I wasn't much of a homework guy. I don't know if that surprises anybody out there, but I wasn't. I mean, I work hard now, but, you know, high school, homework was not a, I just say it wasn't a priority for me. But once I learned very quickly with teachers, you know, which teachers are going to check the homework and which ones are just going to say, oh, Jared did it, check. And which ones are going to be like, please turn in your homework, and then we're literally going to review your homework. And if it was somebody who was going to review your homework, then you had to at least kind of try. If it was somebody who was just going to walk around and give you a check, if you just wrote words down, that's what I did. So Robinson can say, hey, we did our homework on Isaiah Wilson. But if Tony Pauline's reporting is correct, and a bunch of teams took him off the draft board, and they drafted him, then I don't give a damn what your reporting was or your homework was. In fact, now I need you to analyze, I need you to study what was wrong with your homework. These are the same people who convinced us the year before that taking Jeffrey Simmons was okay, and obviously so far that has played out correctly. But I'm just trying to figure out who to believe. Did the Titans really do their homework on Isaiah Wilson? Is this guy making it up? Or is this something we need to be concerned with, that teams across the league were looking at Isaiah Wilson saying, no, 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 no. We are not touching this guy. And then the Titans went out and essentially burned a first-round pick on fire. That is like taking a piece of paper and writing first-round pick and it being worth, taking something that could literally be worth $25 to $40 million and just lighting it on fire, because that's what they did by drafting Isaiah Wilson. Regardless of whether or not they were right, wrong, indifferent. 615-737-1025. So do we believe it, now that there is a report out there, that Isaiah Wilson, teams knew that Isaiah Wilson was this way? Do we believe the report? Do we believe the general manager? You decide. 615-737-1025. We'll get to your reaction next. 615-737-1025. Stillman and Company is live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Yeah, specifically what General Manager John Robinson said is that Isaiah Wilson needs to figure out if he wants to do everything necessary to be a professional football player. And obviously, so much goes along with it. It's not just do you want to play. It's will you show up in time and put in the work and do all of the things all of the check marks that everyone else goes through to earn the right to be a football player. And last year for Isaiah Wilson, a first-round pick, someone who the Titans thought and maybe still think could be a huge part of their future. It was a tumultuous year. He had the DUI. He ended the year on the non-football injury list. It's not like anything happened yesterday to cause this. Clearly, Isaiah Wilson just going through some stuff to try to figure out his future. All sides hope this ends with him being on the football field, playing and playing very well for the Titans. But it's fair to say, after the kind of rookie year that Isaiah Wilson had, everything regarding his future is now up in the air.
That was Ian Rappaport on Isaiah Wilson. And again, the discussion now, the Titans are going to try to get rid of Isaiah Wilson. They're not going to be able to. It's going to come down to whether or not the league will let the Titans keep the money on Isaiah Wilson, the guarantees, and recoup the salary, the signing bonus. Because if they cut him outright, it's a charge against the cap. But whether or not Isaiah Wilson plays for the Titans again, to me, is a non-story. He's not going to play for the Titans again. But what is a story is this Tony Pauline piece, or I guess it's Tony Pauline's website, in which Tony Pauline is quoted. God, that's so ridiculous. Anywho, so in which John Robinson has said they did their homework on Isaiah Wilson. The player they scouted in the spring was not the player they signed in the fall. And Tony Pauline said that he heard that teams were taking Isaiah Wilson off of their draft board. He said, quote, "Multiple times in podcasts leading up to last year's draft, there are plenty of red flags, primarily personality issues that teams were concerned about. There were a number of teams across the league that had removed Wilson from their draft board completely because of these personality red flags." Now, I have not read the podcast or listened to the podcast, so I don't know. But that is what Tony Pauline said, you know, on ProFootballNetwork.com. Again, Tony Pauline does not have a blue check mark on Twitter. Ryan Porth pointed out to me that I guess Twitter has not been giving out a bunch of blue check marks. I do have something on discovering whether or not it is the truth. But I did promise your phone, so we'll do that. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. AG is up next. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, AG.
Yeah, I could see my guy John Robinson gambling on somebody like Isaiah Wilson because he done did it in the past on injured players and stuff, though. But I wanted to ask, did John Robinson get rid of anybody in his front office? Because I still believe he's going to have a good comeback, you know, with the picks this year, though. But, yeah, I wanted to ask, did he get rid of anybody in his front office, though? Because we brought in some bums this year.
There's some truth to that. I don't think they did. Thank you for your call, AG. I don't think they did. I mean, I think they pretty much stayed the status quo. I think the Titans got a new chief financial officer. That, I think, is the extent of what they did. But as far as changing the front, the one thing I'll say about changing the front office and being mad at Robinson, and there's nobody who's, you know, talked about Robinson more than I have, but the one thing I would say in defense of Robinson is he knocked it out of the freaking park in 2019. Fourth round pick for Tannehill, Jeffrey Simmons in the first round, A.J. Brown in the second round, Amani Hooker in the fourth round, Nate Davis in the third round, Roger Saffold in free agency. I mean, they knocked it out of the park. The one miss they had was Adam Humphries, and that was an injury thing. So I as much as we can knock John for 2020, let's be real about John in 2019. Matt says on the text line, how does this Tony Pauline guy know who is and isn't being taken off of teams' draft boards? I don't see teams sharing their draft board decisions with the media, and I think Wilson might have a slander case against this guy. He'd have to prove it, that nobody secretly told him that that was the case in order to sue him. But if Schefter or Rappaport had said that teams have taken a guy off of their draft board, then there would be a lot of reason to believe that that's the case. Although, not that this was ever shared with me during the 5 years I did the show with somebody who used to be the general manager of a team, but sometimes you'd leak it out there that you've taken somebody off your draft board because of an injury, just so you would hope the doctors would clear the guy. And then you tell Mortensen or Schefter or somebody like that, hey, yeah, we've got a lot of reservations about that ankle, so I think we're going to take him off our draft board. Then they go on TV and say, I'm hearing teams are taking him off their draft board, in the hopes that some teams that were going to draft the guy get second thoughts and say, no, I don't think we should draft that guy, and then bang, you draft him. Not that that had ever been brought to my attention. I'm just saying. So how about this, Ian? I have dug this up. It took me about 25 seconds using Google. Are you ready for it?
Ready.
Tony Pauline's 2020 draft scouting report on Georgia tackle Isaiah Wilson, published March 27th, 2020. Positives. Quote, large, powerful right tackle prospect with starting potential at the next level. Blocks with leverage, quickly sets up off the snap, keeps his head on a swivel, displays outstanding vision, consistently gets leverage on opponents, and easily turns defenders from the line. Keeps his feet moving, stays square, and plays powerful football, effective with his hands, flexible and adjust to pick up speedy edge rushers and blitzes. Negatives, quote, not light on his feet and struggles in motion. Really cannot slide off the edge and displays limited range and pass protection. Now, this is just me, Ian, but if I had knowledge that a guy had personality issues and teams were taking him off the draft board, would I not have included that in negatives?
You would think so.
Analysis, Tony Pauline writes. Wilson is a traditional right tackle who can be an overwhelming force at the point of attack. He's a dominant run blocker who holds his own in pass protection, but he's not suited for a zone blocking system. So I'd say this. First of all, that makes no sense that John Robinson would draft somebody who's not suited for zone blocking. In fact, I think Isaiah Wilson, the tape I saw, was very suitable for zone blocking. But that's just me. But the guy says, I had teams telling me there were red flags. They were taking him off the draft board. And he says that now. And I've got his analysis from 2020. I have that in front of me, and I don't see that anywhere. So I think, and let me say I think before I say I know, because I definitely don't know, and I don't want to get sued for saying I know. Sounds to me like this guy's lying. If I had to take a guess, it sounds like to me like he's lying. Now, if he's got the podcast and he can bring up a podcast, I'm not going back to listen to Tony Pauline's podcast. I don't even really know who Tony Pauline is. But it seems to me like he's lying.
Well, I could see teams telling him this now that the draft is over so they don't spill any secrets about who or what is on their list. This is all revisionist history. They can say this all this year, but that doesn't really help anything for last year and what was going on in the draft.
Glenn texts into the text line and says, when did the report come out about Isaiah Wilson around the draft? Was it around the draft or was it last week? That makes a difference in whether or not I believe it. It came out yesterday. So that's why it's hard for me to believe, right? Like it comes out yesterday. And look, I think everybody would agree, right? Like I've said, I want a political style commission done into how the Titans got Isaiah Wilson so wrong. And if it were to be pinnable on John Robinson, you all listen to this show. You know me. There's no sacred cows here. Like, if it were to be pinnable on John Robinson, I would pin it on John Robinson. But all the signs are pointing to the fact that this report seems to be a little, seems to me to be a little out there. So I'm not going to get on Robinson for it. But I did find it. Someone sent that to me last night and said, what do you think about this article? I'm like, who the hell is Tony Pauline? And now that I've done just a little bit more research, I follow this up with, I don't believe Tony Pauline. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025, if you want to get in. Coming up next, though, David Boyle. The national media is saying one thing. The local media, I can't even tell you what the local media is saying. I know what I'm saying about the Predators and the need to rebuild. The team, for the most part, it feels like they're trying to prop up the 4 out of 5 and, you know, turning the corner and things like that. But what David Poyle said about all the people around the country and I guess in Canada that are talking about whether or not the Predators are going to rebuild. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, delivered by TriStar Moving, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. By the way, speaking of those Predators, Smashville Live every Wednesday night. So tune in tomorrow night from 6 to 7 with special Smashville guests. Cliff Ronning, former Preds player, and Predators president and CEO Sean Henry. Smashville Live every Wednesday on 102.5 The Game during the Preds season, and it's gone virtual, so you can watch on 102.5 The Game's Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and thegamenashville.com. Smashville Live brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Red Spirits and Wine. Also tomorrow, they'll be giving away a pair of tickets to see the Preds take on the Florida Panthers at Bridgestone Arena Thursday night.
To be honest with you, I think Forsberg is available. I think the two that are hands off are Roman Josi and Ryan Ellis with the Preds, just sort of based on, you know, various conversations around the league to see who's who could fetch what. I like Philip Forsberg a lot. I hate to give up on skill like that, but if you're going to move someone and get something back, if you're going to start to rebuild this team, that might be the key piece that you do move.
That was Jeff Merrick. He, of course, on Sportsnet. So now we've got him talking about the Predators rebuilding. We've got Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada. He's talking about the Predators rebuilding. We've got Pierre LeBrun writing in The Athletic about the Predators and rebuilding. In fact, he put together his big board on trade targets. Number one, Matthias Ekholm. Number four, Philip Forsberg, which I find to be interesting that he'd put Ekholm over Forsberg, but I do love me some Ekholm, so... there you go. But they're all talking about it. In fact, Adam Vingan, I said, I'm not exactly sure how the local media feels. That is fair. Adam Vingan wants to rebuild the team too. I mean, he thinks it's time. You know me. I said, win four in a row. Win four in a row and we'll talk. They didn't win four in a row. But it's a national media thing. And David Poile was on Darren Donick and Chase today, and they asked him about everybody talking about rebuilding and when is it time to rebuild.
I try not to respond to that.
That's how I thought you would go.
Especially to the media, but I get it. There's nothing to hide here. We've talked about this. Our team has had a great run, highlighted by the Stanley Cup Finals, but that was, you know, 3 years ago. And we've had I think we've been a good team the last 2 years, but not as good as we were at our peak. And so, you know, there's a little bit of decline. Obviously, the start of the season, we were perfect fodder for any conversation as to trades and a rebuild. And, you know, that's going to continue until we either climb higher in the standings or we actually make a trade. So I get it. Trading deadline is April 12th. I just said earlier that you pointed out is that I think this next stretch of games with playing against the Carolinas, Floridas, and Tampa Bay are really going to, you know, show us whether we're one of the top teams in our division, whether we're a playoff team or possibly that we're not. And I would think maybe, you know, what you asked me what I'm talking about now may be a more appropriate question when we get back off of this road trip.
So David Poile is basically saying, give us this 16-day road trip that is upcoming, and at the end of the road trip, then I will have an answer for you as to whether or not to rebuild the team. To that, I have two questions. One, and these are for you. These aren't for me. You already know. I told you, if I own the team, I would be saying it's about time to rebuild, and I would be looking at my options of the future at the general manager position. But let's just humor David Poile here for a second. They play three games here in Nashville this week, and then it is literally 2 weeks, Dallas, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Florida. Those are the three best teams of the division. Forget about Dallas. Those are the three best teams. So you're going to know really, really quickly if the Predators are as bad as they looked a couple of weeks ago when they had Tampa Bay in here. If they are that bad when they play the big boys, we will know. Now, they might eke out a game or two in these, but if they're getting just swamped, then we know. The one thing I worry about is the Predators kind of flailing around and winning some of these games, but not winning enough of them for it to make a difference. So I would say this, just for me, I don't know if you can really wait until March 22nd to decide that you're going to rebuild. Because if the deadline is the 12th and guys that are going to Canadian teams have to quarantine for 2 weeks, then for them to really be of any value down the stretch, I still think that deadline matters, because there are going to be teams that know they're going to be in the playoffs. That even if an Ekholm has to go to, you know, Canada, even if he has to go to Toronto and quarantine for 14 days, like, you at least know you're going to have him in the playoffs. But just reading the coverage here, do you really need that? Do you really need the 16 days? Do you really need the Dallas, Carolina, Tampa Bay, Florida, Dallas? And then at the end of that, on March 22nd, to decide whether or not to rebuild the team. If you were to do that, and you were to give yourself a couple of weeks, would you really be getting the best returns possible out of Matthias Ekholm? And if you trade him, Philip Forsberg? I mean, I get the idea of it's hard to let go. When you're David Poile, everything that you do is built towards trying to add the pieces together to go compete. And you've seen crazy things happen in your life. I mean, we've seen crazy things happen with the Predators in the last 5 years. We've seen the Predators find their way into the playoffs in the last week of the season and end up in the Stanley Cup final. We've seen the Predators have the best record and lose in the second round. We've seen the Predators get dominated in the first round where they didn't score a power play goal. We've seen St. Louis be the worst team in the league and end up as the Cup champion. I mean, we've seen a lot of crazy stuff. It's almost like David is kind of banking on the crazy stuff. But do you really need to see that? Like, are you, and this, again, this is a question for you. Because to me, and I, every time I decide what I'm going to say, when it's a big organizational decision on the show, I always pose it as if I owned the team. So they can do whatever they want. And if you own the team, you could do whatever you want. But if I owned the team, I probably wouldn't need these 2 weeks. And even if maybe there's a part of me that would humor David Poile and say, okay, I'll give you the 2 weeks. I'll give you the 2 weeks, but at the end of the 2 weeks, you got to be in third place or better. Because the last thing I'm doing, I am not going to finish fourth in the division this year, go get smacked by Tampa in 4 games, and then be left holding the bag on the draft picks that I don't have, and the prospects that I don't have, and the rebuilding that should be done. It feels like the idea of rebuilding for the Predators is a giant Band-Aid right there on the hairy arm. And you know you don't want to rip that Band-Aid off. And let me just be honest, I got a lot of hair, so I know exactly what that's like. Unfortunately, I'm starting to lose some of it on the crown of my head, but I got a lot of hair everywhere else. And I know that feeling of tearing that Band-Aid off. And for some reason, they don't want to do it. They think there's a chance that this team could turn it around. Even in the games they're winning, I'm not seeing the offense that makes me think that this team could go into Tampa and win a playoff series against the Lightning. So I guess we can humor David Poile if that's what he wants. But if I owned this hockey club, I mean, I'd be thinking about, you know, if he came to me and said, hey, give me 16 days on the road to turn it around. And in 20 days, if we're not better, if we're not at a certain point to where we feel good about this team, then I'll tear it down for you. I think I'd have to say you got to be in third place. That you have to at least be in third place by that point. Show of hands who thinks they can be in third place by that point. Okay. I think you have to balance optimism with being realistic. And I lean more towards being realistic. I don't remember exactly what he wrote, and I know he's listening right now, but Adam Vingan wrote that, you know, in The Athletic, and I'm paraphrasing here, but something along the lines of, it may just be better for the Predators to really get a dose of reality so that they can truly start this, so that they know, so that they can't even try to convince themselves. I'm just telling you what I would do if I owned the team. I'm not sure that waiting 3 more weeks is going to help you at all. That being said, I don't know if waiting 3 weeks is going to hurt you. That's not the job of somebody who owns the team. The job of somebody who owns the team is to decide who should be running the team to make those decisions of when you need to sell and how long you need to wait. So that's how I'd approach it. I mean, sure, You want to see if this road trip will turn up roses? If this were a stock, as far as the Predators going to Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Florida, and playing Carolina and Florida at home, I mean, I'd probably short it. I don't expect the Predators to go run through those teams. But hey, again, in the last 5 years, we've seen some crazy things. So your thoughts, 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. David Poyle wants to give it 20 days before he gets back to us on whether or not he's going to rebuild the team. What do you think? Would you start sooner? Could you get better returns if you started sooner? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get your reaction on that. 615-737-1025. Plus, the one thing I will say about the Predators, and I'm not trying to knock them. I mean, I actually mean this. But 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to your thoughts on it next. Stillman and Company delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Predators now 5-1 against Columbus this season after a successful weekend. That's now 4-5. So with that being said, do you believe, David, this team has turned a corner, or do you need to see a little bit more?
I think it's a combination of things, as it always is. There's no question that our play has improved. Things that we were really negative on at the beginning of the year, specifically like our power play and our penalty killing, have much improved in the last few games. A lot of our breakdowns that allowed to goals against, which is certainly partially due to our improved goaltending. There's a lot of things to be positive about. The lines have been somewhat the same for the last three or four games. You see a young player like Tolvanen now that's got three goals and has really helped us on the power play. And now we go into, we play Columbus, we play Detroit. Now we have a whole series of games against Carolina, Florida, back to Carolina, Tampa Bay, Florida, the top three teams in our division with a sprinkled in game with Dallas as another one of those makeup games. So I would say after, we have this homestand and we go away for a 16 days long road trip, I would pretty well think we'd have a good barometer of what we felt about our team at that point.
That was David Poyle, again, not ready to wave the white flag, although somebody points out to me, do you think publicly David Poyle will get on there and say, well, Darren, I think we're going to wave the white flag here. We've seen enough. I mean, when they're ready to move, you'll know they're ready to move because the next day Matthias Ekholm will be going somewhere else. 31 Thoughts, Elliot Friedman writes, this would be one thing at least to keep an eye on, saying, quote, it's a buyer's market out there with 5 weeks until the trade deadline. How many teams are really willing to take on money? Never mind, can take on money under the cap, but how many would be willing to do so? The list is not long, and there are many more sellers than there are buyers. That does not bode well for the Predators, who, if they become sellers, would join a crowded marketplace. That being said, as a texter points out at 615-737-1025, if the Predators have the number one trade target in Ekholm, the number four trade target in Forsberg, and the number nine trade target in Granlund, shouldn't they be good? And I really thought about this at the game Saturday. And it was, if they do trade a bunch of guys, they're not going to just totally tear it down like everybody wants them to. There will be at least enough recognizable faces that will be on the team this offseason. Now, what happens after that, I don't know. But Eric Halla will go somewhere else. Nick Cousins will go somewhere else. Mikhail Granlund will go somewhere else. And I hope we're all prepared for those guys playing better when they go somewhere else than they play here. And it being like, watching Colin Blackwell score the other night for the New York Rangers and thinking, what? Kind of like what Kevin Fiala has done with the Minnesota Wild. Like, these guys are going to get traded from here, and they're going to go there, and they're going to play better wherever they go. So I'm a little worried about the reaction to that. Glenn says, I'm not very confident about the team. If they made the playoffs, they would lose in the first round. Trade the players you can and bring in the young guys and let them play and start the rebuild. Can I just say that how, I don't want to say how off they look like, but it's like they played these games with Ellie Tolvanen at the start of the year, which was, I don't think Tolvanen's going to make the team. I think he's going to be on the taxi squad. I think he's going to have to earn his way into lineup. He plays a game, scores a goal, gets to play the next game, doesn't score a goal, goes back to the bench, goes back to the taxi squad. Now all of a sudden, Ellie Tolvanen's like the third best forward of the team right now, at least in terms of scoring. He does it. Other people do not. And it's like, maybe if you guys didn't just jerk around with Ellie Tolvanen all the time and maybe you just put him out there and let him play, he'd be able to get his sea legs under him and he'd be doing what we've seen him do for the last week and a half. He'd have been doing that for a couple weeks now. But no. Had to get Nick Cousins out there. Eric Halla. I mean, it's that bothers me. And that's why I'm like, okay, let's play the kids. Play the young guys. Let me see who can play and who can't. I don't consider Tenorti a kid. He was a first-round draft pick when I was in college, and they got rid of him. But at least you let him play enough to know, okay, Tenorti stinks. Ship him off. Andrew says, sell. So I guess that's a little bit of a surprise. Brent says, give David Poile time. But I like your demand of third place. Here's why I say third place. Third place may not even be feasible, to be honest. That being that at the end of in the next 20 days, the Predators would have to pop up into the standings all the way down from around the bottom where they sit right now, which is in sixth place, all the way to third. They'd have to pass Columbus, which I don't think would be very hard to do because Columbus stinks, and they'd have to pass the Blackhawks. Then they'd have to pass Carolina. Carolina has 9 more points than the Predators do. But in order to pass Carolina, and in order to make me believe you can win, you'd have to probably win the game here against Carolina, and you'd probably have to win the 2 games there. So we're talking about a 6-point swing. Well, that in theory would get you to make up right there. It's not impossible, if they play well, to be in third place. And if you're in third place, that means that you've beaten Carolina 3 times. You've beaten Florida at least probably 3 times. You've beaten Tampa probably once. And then you can try to convince me that even if you make the playoffs, even if you get yourself into that predicament, then you can convince me that you have a shot to make some noise. Then I can start to believe. So I'm holding firm, third place. If on March 22nd they're not in third place, I'd say it's time to put the for sale signs in the front yard. Texter says, Poile is the one that put this team together. He needs to be the one that goes. A rebuild takes a while, so the new GM needs to be making the changes and hiring his own coach and scouts. If this were a true hockey market, Poile would have already been fired after the last playoffs. That's from a texter. I can't tell you what other markets would do. I can't. I mean, yes. Is there a little bit more fire the coach, fire the GM in other markets and bigger markets? Sure. I sometimes like to think that I'm probably the strongest person when it comes to firing a coach or firing a general manager, or at least holding them accountable for doing something stupid like signing Jadeveon Clowney. But at the same time, I understand the concept of not firing David Poile after last year's playoff run. As I've told you, if I owned the team, things would be different. But I've already said, if I owned the team after they lost to Detroit on Thursday night, I would be looking at my options as far as what I can do outside the organization at the end of the year. I'm not sure you're going to make a general manager change in the middle of the year. In fact, reading those Elliot Friedman 31 thoughts, one of them was, Jarmo Kekalainen in Columbus is not ready to fire John Tortorella. But look at Columbus. They are brutal. I mean, they offensively, ugh. I mean, the Predators, you're daring right there. Tell David Poile, 5-1 against Carolina. Might tell us a little bit more about Carolina than it does the Predators. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The NFL draft is upon us. And There's one thing I've been thinking about with the Titans. As far as the draft is concerned, there's one thing I've been thinking, and I can't get it out of my head. We'll get to that coming up next. Hey, by the way, do you want to win the T-Mobile hockey home gating? That's right. If the Predators keep winning, that'll probably be good for a lot of people. But the ESPN 1025 The Game and T-Mobile have teamed up to help you continue with the hockey home gating party. So it would include watching a Preds weekend game with a Dos Equis prize pack, which includes a case of beer, dessert from Nothing But Cakes, a T-Mobile prize pack, and food provided by 312 Pizza Company in Germantown. So be listening later today in the show for your opportunity to text in the keyword to win. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.